This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A record heat wave just keeps getting worse as millions of people, like this guy in Phoenix.
Oh, this is way too hot. This is ridiculous.
Face excessive heat warnings in at least 14 states.
When you open like an oven, that's what it feels like. So if you're like in a hotel and you walk outside, it's the same feeling.
CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti says it's putting a lot of pressure on power grids.
Residents here in California are being urged to conserve their air conditioning use and to keep their thermostats set at 78 degrees to help avoid a potential blackout.
The heat's caused a state trooper to sound the alarm on how some migrants are being treated in Texas. He claims officers were ordered to push people back across the border and withhold water. Reporter Chris Fox.
In a statement, the Texas Department of Public Safety says they're investigating the allegations and that there is not a directive or policy that instructs troopers to withhold water from migrants or to push them back into the river.
Republican leaders are blasting the Justice Department for putting Donald Trump on notice in its investigation into the 2020 election. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
The American public is tired of this. They want to see equal justice, and the idea that they utilize this to go after those who politically disagree with them is wrong.
The feds want Trump to appear before a grand jury on Thursday. CMT is pulling Jason Aldean's music video for Try That in a Small Town. It's not saying why, but the video includes footage of a flag burning, protesters screaming, and attacks on police. The country star defended it on social media, saying any pro-lynching accusations are meritless and dangerous. The song's been out since May. A suspected murderer is back behind bars in Pennsylvania. CBS's Mike Piper has details.
Warren County, Pennsylvania District Attorney Rob Green says he's looking into the possibility that those who worked at the jail where Michael Burham escaped from helped him.
Staff of the Warren County Jail, a lot of whom I consider my friends, could be held criminally negligent.
As for the evidence,
it was mainly negligence issues, complacency issues.
Burham was found thanks to a couple who was checking out why their dog was barking on their property.
An Australian sailor who survived 3 months at sea with his dog is now safely in Mexico. Tim Shattuck says they're lucky to be alive.
She's amazing. That dog is something else, you know. I'm a bit biased.
They were rescued by a tuna boat about 1,200 miles from land after a storm hit his catamaran. They survived on nothing but salt water and raw fish. They're both now getting medical treatment. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
With no fees or minutes.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For WCFW and the Tap 93.5 FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days began today in Baraboo. The three-day event runs through Thursday afternoon. The annual event, which is done in a different county each year, brings in tens of thousands of visitors. Governor Tony Evers was there this morning and talked about the need for public funding to help expand broadband internet access for all communities.
For broadband, we also have to have affordable broadband. That is a key. And in order to do that, frankly, the federal government, state government will need to significantly subsidize putting it in the ground and bring it to people's homes. And we just expect that.
This year's event is being held at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club grounds west of Baraboo and is open from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. each day. There's an admission charge, but kids 12 and under are free, and so is parking. Farm Tech Days moves to Chippewa County next year. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow.
A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out, and for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
This is Bust. It's fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, welcome back. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number, if you want to jump in, 844-967-2789. I haven't even given you anything to call about yet, but phones are open, 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend?
Good, good, Tim. It's a good day. Another summer day for you know, educators already starting to look forward to fall. you know, talking to other teachers, we're feeling ready for it. The PD has already started to roll in and the schedules are coming out. So
all of the professional development that no teacher ever wanted but had to go to. That's not the kind of PD you and I advocate for. Johnny, great guest tonight, though. You know, we've had we've done a deep dive, you know, the past few weeks. Last week we had, you know, Ask Ethan to talk about gender. But this week, you know, we're coming back when covering student loan from every aspect, you know, studentloanjustice.org, you know, Lisa Ansel coming in talking about student loan, the public service forgiveness, you know, and just coming through this. And we kept having, you know, when I would put out on social media, I kept getting into this conversation with others, let's call them others, when I would talk about, you know, let's just cancel student loans, because from everything I'm hearing from the experts, that's what we need to do. And I kept getting smacked, I guess if you can get smacked online, by saying, dude, I'm not going to pay for your student loan bailout. My tax dollars are not for your bad behavior by taking out student loans. My tax dollars are not going to go to bail you out. I was like, well, I keep hearing that it's not all taxpayers, and I kind of get it, but it was like thinking we need to know more about this. Welcome from realprogressives.org, Stephen T. D. Grumbine. Stephen, you are going to now. Is it Stephen or Steve?
You can call me either one. It's fine. I'm good. I answer both.
All right. Okay. We'll keep it. But Steve, you are kind of an expert in this area, because when people say, dude, you got to use my tax dollars to bail it out, and I come back and say, no, it won't cost you anything as a taxpayer. You're coming from the realprogressives.org and this modern monetary theory. A real economic situation where you were saying, no, it's not a hypothetical, it's reality. Steve, give us a quick, what is modern monetary theory? And then we'll get into taxes and student loans and stuff, but just a quick primer on modern monetary theory, right?
Yeah.
MMT.
Yeah, MMT for short. Yeah, all absolutely. Right. Well, first of all, let me thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate this. This is a super important topic, both the MMT side and the student loan side. So it's absolutely my mission to do as many of these type of shows as I can. So thank you so much for having me come on. That said, MMT is It's really largely a description of how a fiat currency works, how a system like one that the United States has, or the UK or Canada or China or Russia or Australia even have, and many other countries have. In general, this is simply the way a currency works. And, you know, for a guy like myself, and I know we may touch on this later, but I think it's important for folks to understand that here I am, I'm getting ready to advocate not only for a monetary concept that many people out there will find mind-blowing, but I'm also a former Republican, and now I would say I'm a fairly far the opposite side of that leftist, and I would credit almost all of that to understanding that that concept of the taxpayer myth is exactly that. It's a myth. Mm-hmm. And it was a myth that was created to connotate ownership of, you know, the commons. It was meant to elevate landowners. It was meant way back in the day. It was meant to elevate the ownership class, the elites, the people that owned slaves, the people that called blacks 3/5 of a human being inside of the Constitution and so forth. So I think it's important to understand that, you know, throughout history, all the laws, all the things that we come to know and love about our great country have come from slave owners, have come from people that wanted to maintain a property class at the top and everyone else at the bottom. That said, I had to understand how money worked because I went to school, I got an MBA, I got a Master of Science in Technology Management, and both of these degree programs told me that taxes funded spending. They told me that governments borrow money from banks and that bonds finance the government. And without, if people lose faith in the bonds, they won't buy them and the government will go bankrupt and it'll be Weimar. And I mean, I had every one of these things. I used to talk about the Rothschilds and how the private Federal Reserve was owned by the Jews and all these other myths that are rampant. You don't even realize how ingrained they are in most people's psyche. But ultimately, I find out almost every bit of it is either wrong or intentionally misguided or intentionally misleading. And so what MMT does is it describes the way money comes to be, and it describes what money is, or currency in this case. And governments create what they call a unit of account to provision themselves so that they can do things. The U.S. dollar didn't exist before the U.S. existed. It was created as a creature of law. So the U.S. dollar was born into existence. And the government has special abilities. It can tell, you know, Boeing, or it can tell Halliburton, we want you to do great things for the war machine. It can tell folks like BlackRock, hey, here's a subsidy, go buy up all the properties. Or we could say, hey, we're going to send money to Ukraine for X, Y, Z. And nobody bats an eye about it. They don't even think about it. It's just like, oh, the debt's going up. But the minute you start asking someone how we're going to pay for healthcare, how we're going to pay for college, free college, all these things, they immediately say my hard-earned tax dollar.
Right.
And so MMT disabuses us of that. It shows that the government creates currency every time it spends, every time it authorizes spending through Article 1, Section 8 of your U.S. Constitution. Folks learn that ultimately the government created the money. It's a law. It's an inch. It's a pound. It's nothing physical. It's not that piece of paper. It's the unit of measure. And the government, in order to get you to take its currency to do something for it, had to issue a tax. It's the tax that forces you to need the currency, because you can only pay your tax in the currency. Interesting. It creates the currency and then forces you to give it back to them. And then what does it do? It deletes it. It purges it. It burns it. Back in the day when we used like tobacco in colonial times, and it was pieces of paper that they would mark up and they would burn them, or they were tally sticks and they'd shred them and burn them. Now they simply delete them with a delete key on a keyboard. So it was a lot to swallow that the dollar was not the piece of paper in my hand, but that was merely a representation of the dollar. It's like if you have a ruler the inch.
I was going to say, yeah, I was doing some of the reading, you know, for some of the stuff out there. And that to me was one of, you know, the ways that it helped me understand this a little bit more when you describe it as a unit of measure. And the fact is that an inch exists regardless of if you have a ruler or not.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. You can never run out of them either, can you?
Yeah. And then there's inches all over the place. Okay.
Hyperinflation of inches.
Okay.
Just imagine right.
Right. Oh my God. I've never seen the hyperinflation of inches. Keep that sideways or not go sideways with that. But, you know, so Steve, you know, but somebody else, though, I think is they're hearing this and then going, yeah, but you know, what about like what I learned in school about trade? You made a comment about, you know, tobacco and stuff like that. I mean, early trade, it wasn't conceptual, right? It was people giving people something for something. I mean, there was an exchange of assets, should I say, or is even that concept a little bit murky?
The myth of barter, read David Graeber. You'll find out the whole barter thing is a stuff that people made up. It's not real. There's no basis in anything, really. They've always had credit, whether it be writing it down on a piece of paper or something. There's always been credit. It's never been barter in this sense. And so, you know, going back, I mean, Steve Keen talks about Warren I remember at one of the MMT conferences years ago, Warren Mosler going toe to toe with one of the big dog economists. I'll save his name for another time, but they were going toe to toe. And this guy brought up the whole concept of myth of barter, and Mosler pounded him, just crushed him. And Mosler is the father of modern monetary theory, for those of you who want to do a quick search. But in the spirit of getting to the nut here on this particular subject, ultimately, the government spends money into existence and it taxes it out of existence. The reason why you accept the money the government gives you is because you must pay your taxes in it. So one of the things that was really challenging for me to understand was the coercive nature of the tax. Tax is not for funding. It's not, has nothing to do with funding. It just has to be sufficient to make you require the currency. And nothing more. And so within that space, you start to think, well, the government, the federal government, if it is the creator of the currency, it can't go broke. It can buy anything available for sale that can be purchased with its currency. And that would include student debt. That would include free college for all. That would include a lot of things. And when you start putting that into perspective, it really, really starts changing all the narratives you hear on television, changing all the narratives you hear amongst your friends at the bar stool. And really, quite frankly, there's a lot of synapses in our own brains that have to rewire once we recognize this is how it really is.
Well, I'm just thinking about that. Yeah, the rewiring that has to go into that. Yeah. You know, Steve, you're saying, you know, coming from, you know, a pretty right conservative Republican to what you say now, you know, and maybe going left and right is not this, you know, I think you would probably say yourself as you're more of a realist today than you ever were, because you're like, I have this concept now. And once I understand it, it's like left, right, liberal bias, all that stuff. It's just like, it starts to disappear. We are talking to Steve Grumbine. He is with, or the founder of realprogressives.org. We're talking modern monetary theory, student loans. We're going to come back, though, and Steve, we're going to answer that question. If my loans are forgiven, why does my neighbor not have to pay extra taxes? Busted pencils, fully leaded, 844-967-2789. Call us when we get back.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
app.
Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the university, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across the state, and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Bach.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench. In so holding, the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says it doesn't.
We're good. You can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 60. For Wednesday, scattered showers and storms, some could be strong to severe. We'll see a high near 87. Showers and storms are likely Wednesday night. Again, some could be strong with lows in the low 60s. For Thursday, partly sunny and a high near 78.
Currently, 78 degrees.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
We are back Tuesday night, Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. Our guest, Steve Grumbine, realprogressives.org. We're talking modern monetary theory, but we're looping it now back to student loans. And I had put out on Twitter last week, Steve, I said, you know, to try to make this concept of, quote, you know, my taxes and my taxes aren't going to pay for it or whatever. So my neighbor gets it. So, or maybe it's like this. I walked over to my next door neighbor's door and I knocked on it and I said, yo, neighbor, PPP loans were canceled. Yes or no? And he said, yeah, they were canceled. And I went, and did you pay extra taxes for those to get canceled? And he looked at me like, wait, I don't know. And then I said, well, if you don't know, then why do you assume you know that if student loans are canceled, that those are going to come out of your taxes? Because was I helping my neighbor out, Steve?
You know, I think you were. Okay. You know, you think about this. This is probably a concept that most people will struggle with. It took me a little bit to get this, but the government only spends a dollar one time. It never spends it twice. It only spends it once. And that's when it births it into existence. When it comes back home, it's deleted. It's destroyed, right? It's done its job, done its stuff in the economy. So when the government gave those PPP loans, it spent it once. When it forgave it, what tax dollar was required? It just said, we're not asking for it back. We don't need it. And so in the end, it didn't cost anybody anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about the way it is with student debt. I want to take this back. Pretend like the government itself wasn't the one that paid for these loans for a minute. Pretend like it wasn't the government. Pretend like it was a private bank, right? So we can put this into context of the car we talked about offline momentarily as well, right? When I get a loan for a vehicle, a bank will give the car company the full asking price of the vehicle to pay them the money. The money's already spent, doesn't matter. The bank, however, will take back the money, the principal plus interest.
Mm-hmm.
They don't keep the principal. The principal is deleted because banks would be counterfeiting if they were printing money like that and it could just live in perpetuity. The only thing the bank gets to keep is the interest. Okay. So flash forward to student debt. Government was the one that spent that money into existence. They spent the principal into existence, gave it to the college or university. Universities paid for it. You didn't steal from the university. Universities already received their payment in full. The only thing is government said, hey, we're a great job creator. Let's create these loan servicing companies that they get to skim the interest off or a certain fee off the top of every student loan. And that's how they survive and thrive. So one might say that by not paying back your student loan, you're depriving the predatory student loan collection industry of its nut. So poor them, I cry me a river, old man river kind of thing. So I ain't sweating the loan servicing companies at all, zero, right? But the government's already spent that principle into existence. And just like the PPP loan, and quite frankly, just like the vehicle loan, okay, the bank didn't get to keep that principle. The government doesn't ever have money. The government money lives outside the government because the government creates it, has no need for it other than to get us to need it to do things for it. So in the case of student debt, literally, there is no payback. It's done. It's wiped out. The only issue is whether there's contract law out there that says that Nelnet and all these other servicing companies get a certain, they're entitled to some contractual thing, then the government might pay them, but that's still not out of your pocket. Where'd it come from? It came from the government. They spent it into existence and paid them off. No big deal.
On the interest thing, though, too, and Johnny, I'm sorry, I'm not letting you jump in here yet.
I'm taking it in. I'm fascinated by this topic, and it comes up so often when we're having the discussion around student loan repayment. So this is really enlightening.
Well, because you talk about the interest, and I think that is a concept where people get that, and you say, okay, you know, I took out $10,000, you know, 5% interest over 5 years, I'm going to pay back my principal, the amount I took out, and then some. And the and then some is the, quote, profit that the person who supposedly gave me that money then. And you're saying, so the reality is that, yeah, the interest, they do collect that interest. That made me think then, too, when I hear some of the other student loan cancellation forgiveness advocates out there talking about going, and the reality is that the government has collected billions of dollars in interest in addition to the loans then that they gave out, Steve, what you were saying. So they've been making money all along. And the fact that they're going to lose any money, that's a myth too. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah. So think about this. Social Security. You don't ever go into some old piggy bank and reach in and get a hay penny from 1919. It's all new money, no matter what. My hard-earned Social Security, the same thing. Nothing. It's not true. When it comes to the interest that we pay on student debt, that money is what is used to pay the servicing companies. Mm-hmm. And the government, when it gets it back, just like Social Security, just like any other tax, it deletes it. It has no use for it. It's gone. The government will create new money when it wants to do something else. It never prints money. It only spends money into existence. So if it doesn't have a bill directly to tell it to do something, it doesn't just print plates of money.
Okay. So now, okay, it's starting to come together now because I'm imagining my new trip to my neighbor, the new tweet I'm going to put out, the new thread if I ever figure out how to make threads work. To talk about the fact is that your tax dollars, those of you out there that are worried about student loan cancellation and your taxes going up, okay, you heard it here tonight on Busted Pencils from Steve Grumbine. No, your taxes have nothing to do with canceling student loan debt. My question then too is if people get that, could we move this conversation forward and start saying, so let's do the cancellation. The number is 844-967-2789. When we get back, more Busted Pencils back after the break.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. The extreme heat in Phoenix eclipses the big city record for consecutive hot days, with 19 days hitting at least 110 degrees. National Weather Service meteorologist Tom Frieders.
At least for the next 5 to 7 days, for sure, we're looking at temperatures continuing well above normal. And in many times, that's going to be high temperatures from 115 to 120 degrees.
Former President Trump says he has received a special counsel letter saying he's the target in a probe of alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
You noticed recently, President Trump went up in the polls and was actually surpassing President Biden for re-election. So what do they do now? Weaponize government to go after their number one opponent.
An American soldier crosses the border between South Korea into North Korea. U.S. officials say he was facing military discipline. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We believe the soldier is currently in DPRK custody and are working with our North Korean counterparts to resolve this incident.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For WCFW and the Tap 93.5 FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days began today in Baraboo. The three-day event runs through Thursday afternoon. The annual event, which is done in a different county each year, brings in tens of thousands of visitors. Governor Tony Evers was there this morning and talked about the need for public funding to help expand broadband internet access for all communities.
For broadband, we also have to have affordable broadband. That is the key. And in order to do that, frankly, the federal government, state government will need to significantly subsidize putting it in the ground and bring it to people's homes. And we just expect that.
This year's event is being held at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club grounds west of Baraboo and is open from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. each day. There's an admission charge, but kids 12 and under are free, and so is parking. Farm Tech Days moves to Chippewa County next year. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Media network of local radio stations.
Seems every station on the TV is selling something no one can be.
That's not what we do here every Tuesday night. We are everything you always wanted to be. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. Our guest, Steve Grumbine, founder of realprogressives.org. We were talking modern monetary theory, student loans, my neighbor who's absolutely yelling at me that he's not going to pay extra taxes for my loans to be canceled. We got through there. We kind of explained how that's, well, yeah, dude, relax. You are not going to pay for my student loan cancellation. No one is. And in fact, the beauty of that is the reality. And I hear this now kind of coming through is that, and Johnny, maybe you can help and then bring this in, but I get a sense of saying like doing this is a freedom, is a nonpartisan issue. frame that up a little bit better for me, Johnny.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hear what Steve's sharing here, and, you know, and I think it's important because so often when we're discussing the student loan forgiveness or repayment or, you know, all of the kind of topics that have come up, you know, some of the pushback against it has been, you know, that it falls then on the burden of the taxpayers or on the people who either already paid back their loans in full or who chose not to take out those loans or were able to not take out those loans. So kind of this argument against individual responsibility versus sort of collective strength in the economy. And one of the things that, you know, stands out to me in that is not only is Steve explaining to us how that's a myth, right? That this costs our neighbor money, that costs, it comes at the expense of those who didn't borrow. But now, you know, we think about this and really we've talked about this in a few other shows, Tim, is that these are issues. When we talk education, although we land ourselves oftentimes aligned with the Democratic Party, and, you know, can be classified as, you know, liberal or radical even in our own politics, these are nonpartisan issues. These are sort of common good, if we can borrow a term from sort of like, you know, the politics of things. These are things that we should be able to work across the proverbial aisle, sort of land on, you know, supporting our veterans, supporting education, supporting healthcare. These are things that should just be basic human rights. And we can sort of have our differences and sort of our political parties. But if there ever was a middle or a sort of nonpartisan issue, one of them to me is our economy and is, you know, the strength of our democracy via education and healthcare. These are the three kinds of big, big, big middle grounds for me. And so, Steve, you know, you touched on that. You're like, well, I was on the, you know, conservative end, especially as an economist and, you know, as a political thinker. And then, you know, then you sort of shifted and you know, so you have perspective from all angles on this. Help maybe our listeners and even ourselves, Tim and I, think through this, like how, when I say something like this ought to be a nonpartisan issue, and really both political parties are getting it wrong. Right. Yeah. So I'm putting my Democrat, you know, community out there on blast because they're getting it completely wrong. But, you know, shine some light on that, Steve. How is this like one of the nonpartisan issues that we should all be really focused on as members of the community?
Yeah, well, you just went through the debt ceiling discussion, and that in and of itself was just the joke of all jokes. I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, but it all starts there, right? These political volleyballs that each group finds political advantage for whatever they're fighting for. But in reality, the national debt is nothing more than the sum total, get this, of every untaxed dollar in the economy, right? So if you understand the national debt doesn't have to be paid back, it's not some thing that we have to, you know, burden our grandchildren with. I mean, you know, all these talking points that we've seen the Democrats and Republicans fighting tooth and nail over, and people, very serious people, get wrapped around the axle of these silly conversations. And they are silly. They're really silly, especially when you understand how it really works. And Democrats are actually in some ways worse than Republicans on economics because they believe that they are actually being the adults in the room by reducing the deficit, by lowering the debt, by raising taxes. They really genuinely believe them to be the heralded saints coming in to save the day and clean up the Republican poo-poo. But I mean, some of the myths that Democrats say, like the Republicans raided the Social Security Excel spreadsheet, I mean, trust fund, things like that. it's almost impossible to not want to take these two groups and just clunk them in the head and say, guys, wake up, you know, wake up, Peter Pan, Count Chocula. It's time to stop thinking about the coal, the lump of coal in your stocking. That's the same kind of mythology that these things are all about. So coming from the right, this is important. I had to understand the nature of money. I had to understand this because I had an MBA, for goodness sakes. I've been trained classically in all this stuff. And I had to unlearn $122,000 worth of student debt, okay, to get to the other side of it. When I got to the other side of it, there is nothing less partisan than modern monetary theory. The issue is, what are the priorities? It's real resources. Do we have the real resources available for purchase? Could we raise Social Security up? Do we have the available real resources? Do we have the production? If we give Medicare for all, do we have enough doctors? Do we have enough hospitals? Do we have enough things? These are things that Republic, if you think about it, you sit in a boardroom, you sit in a meeting, project meeting with a bunch of Republicans 9 times out of 10 in the office space. And they're like very seriously looking at the, how can we make this work? Hey, when you understand how it works, you can make it work. The problem is, can we get people to pull away from the political parties? Because the parties aren't doing this because they're just stupid. They're using it as a political volleyball for gain, for you know, what's that old saying? It's like von Clausewitz, war is policy by other means. Well, this is the same type of thing. They're using the lie of the taxpayer myth, the deficit myth, the national debt myth, the Peterson Foundation, all these other groups. If you learn that this is bullshit, you know, just nonsense, right? Then all of a sudden you can have a real conversation with each other. Now we can talk about what really prioritize, you know, what priorities we need. And, you know, being a former Republican, I know a lot of what they care about is fairness. I worked hard. Why should you get over on my hard work? And once you understand the money doesn't come from your tax dollars, that conversation changes. I oftentimes use the slavery deal. Hey, you know what? I spent my whole life as a slave. Why the heck should we free the slaves when I've spent my whole life being a slave? Shouldn't you have to be your whole life? My goodness, that's the kind of insanity that pervades. We shouldn't let people across the border because they're taking all of our jobs. They're taking our women. They're doing this. They're doing, oh, it's awful. It's bedlam, right? These are all myths that start from the false scarcity of money narrative, the false scarcity that you're going to take something of mine. I have to hide it. I have to hoard it. I've got to protect it, my private property. And so once you unwedge and unlodge that myth, you can start looking at people's hearts. You can start seeing what matters to them. And you'd be surprised that Republicans love their children too. And you'd be surprised that Democrats love their children too, for the, you know, for the other side. Now all of a sudden, you know, we're having a different conversation. At least you hope we are, right? So I think it's important. I think it's a very important wake-up call for everyone to realize that we can have nice things.
My heart, Steve, and you're talking about my heart. That's the part there where I just feel it's just like, but even that is, has in some ways that it's like, you know, I'm not allowed to have heart. I'm not allowed to have compassion. I'm not allowed to have empathy. But even that is kind of coming around the idea of saying the reason you're not allowed to have that is because, to me, what I was hearing you say is because you believe in the myth of scarcity.
Yes.
And so if you believe in scarcity, then you really do have a sense of saying there's not enough, you know, there's not enough. And I'm glad I got enough for myself right now, but goodness, I got to make sure that I preserve enough for myself. And that, you know, so there I started thinking about that, you know, back to the econ class, you know, we talk about, you know, what creates value? Scarcity, right? And if scarcity, and this is the part too, for me, maybe I'll get more philosophical on this, but come on, if education, food, healthcare, retirement, if we create scarcities out of those things, the reality is that we're kind of practicing a bit of inhumanity by creating scarcity out of human needs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right? I mean, just Johnny, I mean, this is what's popping in my head. And so, you know, back to what we do, everything, you know, it's like the whole idea, we can't afford good schools. What? What do you mean? Well, if we took away the afford good schools because we're worried, you know, well, heck, if they have a good school, I'll obviously lose something if they get a good school. If that argument's gone, that I'm going to lose if they gain.
Yep.
Then the idea of education in the public sphere in the commons is that we have the mandate from an authority above us or below us, wherever you want to say, but a mandate to meet our needs of our fellow human beings. And therefore, when we're meeting the needs, we are then practicing something that is just remarkably beautiful. All of a sudden, canceling student loan debt, of course, because when we cancel, you know, Steve, you made a talk, you know, if we cancel that student loan debt, you have that much more now to give back to all of us. You're already giving back a ton on the show and all you're doing with realprogressives.org and all of them on. But the idea that this sets people, and I've been using this term, it sets us free to do the work that humanity requires of us.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
You know, and I sit there and think that. So educators, people who love education, our listeners who are traditional, you know we have a lot of school teachers out there. And you think about this, you know, we know you got into this role not to necessarily raise academic achievement scores, but to make the world a better place. This is what we're talking about here. There are ways to talk about helping students understand economy, scarcity, and then the idea of human needs, needs and wants, and things like that. The fact that we've said basic human needs are scarce, my goodness, we've created an economy around suffering. That's where I kind of feel that. Steve, this is what you're moving me into here. We've got two more minutes before we're going to say. Well, I do want to say, though, Steve, this is great. Steve Grumbine, realprogressives.org, modern monetary theory. My neighbor is not going to pay extra taxes for my student loan forgiveness. Steve, you get the last minute there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to learn about this stuff, I mean, there's a lot of great people. Stephanie Kelton has written a wonderful book called The Deficit Myth. Go read it. It's an easy read. If you like listening to podcasts, there's a bunch of them out there, but I'll plug my own. We do a show every Saturday. It comes out called Macro and the letter N and Cheese. And we talk to the experts. We talk to people about these things. And I get into the dark spots where people don't like to talk in there. I also do a show Monday, Wednesday, Friday on our other sister channel. It's a 501c4 called Real Progress in Action. And my show is called The Rogue Scholar. And I talk about this stuff all the time. I think if you want to put the final exclamation point on this, okay, the fact of the matter is that currency is temporary. It comes and goes. It's spent into existence. It's deleted out of existence. We are taxed because the government needs us to need its currency. And it's that simple. And the national debt is nothing more than the sum total of every untaxed dollar in the economy. Folks, we can do this.
We can do this. Steve Grumbine, realprogressives.org. Busted pencils, fully leaded. If you want to touch in with Johnny and me. So we finish it up, 844-967-2789. Busted pencils, more when we get back.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 60. For Wednesday, scattered showers and storms, some could be strong to severe. We'll see a high near 87. Showers and storms are likely Wednesday night. Again, some could be strong with lows in the low 60s. For Thursday, partly sunny and a high near 78.
Currently, 78 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes made of ticky-tacky. Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one. And a blue one and a yellow one. They're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
And the people in the houses, I went to the
We know you're talking to you guys, people in houses, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Oh, everybody loves the bumper music, the intros and outros for this show. Rise Against. Anti-Flag, always out there, just dropping it, making sure that everybody understands where we are, where we're coming from. Johnny, great conversation. We just
That's a, I mean, Steve knows this stuff and he helps make it make sense, but it's still like, you know, it's a lot of thinking about this whole like modern money,
right?
Like all the different things, but the big takeaways are, you know, it's refreshing to hear an economist, somebody who speaks on, you know, with some knowledge and authority of perspectives from, you know, both sides, both the conservative perspective and this proverbial idea, like a liberal perspective here, you know, that he just kind of debunks the myth that we can't solve this, you know, this debt idea, this we can just do better with our economics. And I like hearing that, man. It makes me excited to continue to have conversations that explore creative ways that we address not only student loan debt, but we really address, you know, how we take care of one another in this country, right? That's like fundamentally what it comes down to. And so I love hearing about that because I do really believe if we can be in any way a catalyst for that conversation, that's what, when we're talking to teachers and to, you know, people studying to become teachers, we're talking to school leaders, we're talking to, you know,
parents
and families talking about education in their community. One of the core, you know, goals I think all of us have in our schools is that young people learn not only that it's important to care for themselves and each other, right? But they learn how to do that.
Mm.
And I think that's the sort of the two prong approach that oftentimes we're only getting one prong of. We're hearing that it's important to learn that it's important to care about yourself and others, but we're not always practicing how. And I think that's sometimes how we get to where we're at, where we are in these stalemates with our neighbor about, you know, something as you know, ridiculous as student loan debt being where it is in this country.
It made me think more too, come back on my mic there, to really, as teachers, you know, this idea and the way I was framing it there was with Steve, you know, basic human needs and wants, you know, you go back when you're learning, right? You're first learning to be an educator, right? We learn about Maslow's hierarchy, right? Hierarchy of needs. And we start out by working with, you know, young people who are thinking about being teachers, of recognizing that, you know, food, safety, those quote basic human needs, you can't teach, you can't help students learn, you can't create that sense of being able to do more than just survive unless those needs are met. And so often we keep hearing through these discussions that it costs money for needs to be met, you know, and I, maybe that's, you know, I know somebody's out there going, you're darn right it does. Okay. But let's still though go, wait a minute though, as educators, if there's a way to be thinking about money, economics in a way that says, you know what, when it comes to needs, healthcare, food, safe schools, the right equipment in schools, the things that we need, teachers, the adequate pay that's there. You start to, you know, when everything's not, as we said, scarcity, then you start being able to have a conversation about, well, what do we want? And let's say beyond what we want. And the reason we want it, because I know somebody's like, well, you can't get what you want. We want the needs of our children, of our families, of our communities, the needs to be taken care of as a society. That is our goal. That's not partisan. And so all of the legislation too coming out about, you know, teachers, you know, indoctrinating and things like that, it's like, okay, wait a minute. Even some of that is drawn from this idea of scarcity of, you know, you can't go there. We can't talk about that. Well, you know what? We can talk about that. And I want to bring that back because that is one of those motivating things about being an educator, is stepping into a place where you believe you have the ability to dig deep and help people become better. Well, that gets really hard to do year in, year in, and year out when your kids are hungry, when they're sick, when you don't have the healthcare that you need as a provider for your family, when all of those things are a struggle. Man, no wonder we have, on top of all the other reasons, no wonder there's a shortage of people wanting to be a teacher. It almost becomes impossible. We have a possibility here now to say, okay, you know what? Needs aren't to meet people's needs. We don't have a scarcity issue anymore. Scarcity, yeah. When it comes to needs, throw scarcity out the window because needs are what they say they are. Their needs. I don't know. I went on a tangent there, Johnny.
I mean, it does come back around to it. And you know, it brings us to this, to broadening the discussion of why we're so adamant about, you know, unpacking the myths around student loan repayment, because, you know, it is becoming, we had the show a couple of weeks ago where it was, you know, we discussed the mental health aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a few times now guests on who spoke to the economic ways, like the economic burden, but also just not even individual economic burden, even though, Tim, like, my heart is with you on this. I believe we're only as strong individually as our collective community is, you know, but even if I'm really an individualist where I'm thinking about my own benefit in this, disconnected from that of my community, the economic stimulus that eliminating this debt puts immediately into our economy benefits us. So even if I'm really instrumentalist about this and I'm like, what is the ends to the means on this? It's for sure that, you know, this extends to the health of our economy and to our general physical and mental well-being.
That's it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. I think we're going to go on the music here. I'm going to work with it, Anya. We will see y'all next week.
Look forward to it. Podcasts and
more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. 470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit therifens.com/disclosure.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.